This lecture is going to be very new for you. It's going to involve some ideas from a subject area that we call functional analysis. Namely, we're going to treat infinite dimensional spaces of functions. This is one of the big ideas of 20th century analysis. So definition, a linear functional on LP. So the infinite dimensional spaces we're going to treat are going to be the LP spaces. A linear function on LP is a mapping phi from LP into the reals, which is linear. The linear functional phi is bounded by definition if there's a constant m bigger than zero, so that absolute value phi of f is less than or equal to m times norm of f in LP for all f in LP. In this case, the bound or the norm of the functional is defined to be double bar phi double bar equals sup absolute phi f for f in LP and norm of f in LP less than or equal to 1. So these are very standard ideas from functional analysis. If you go on and take a functional analysis course, you'll see these ideas a lot. Example, fix p bigger than or equal to 1 less than infinity. Let q be p divided by p minus 1. Let g be an LQ. We call q the conjugate exponent to p. Define a linear functional phi on LP by phi of f equals the integral of f times g d mu. Here, d mu is, for example, Lebesgue measure. Then phi is a linear functional with norm at most GLQ. Just use Holder's inequality to check this claim. In fact, we'll leave it to you to check that the norm actually equals GLQ. To see this, just assume g is bigger than or equal to 0 and let f equal to g to the 1 over p minus 1 power. This will result in the equality phi of f equals FLP times GLQ. This is a very good exercise for you to do. I did it when I was a student. And I learned a lot by doing so, and you will too. The Riesz theorem gives a converse to the result in the example. We begin with a lemma. Note that a linear functional phi is called positive. Phi of f is bigger than or equal to 0 for all f and LP, which is bigger than or equal to 0. So here's the lemma. Let phi be a bounded linear functional on LP. Then there exist two positive bounded linear functionals, phi plus and phi minus, so that phi of f equals phi plus of f minus phi minus of f for all f in LP. So this tells us that every bounded linear functional can be composed as the difference of two positive linear functionals. Not a great surprise, but nice to know. Proof. If f is bigger than or equal to 0, then define phi plus of f to be the sup of phi of g, where g is an LP, and 0 is less than or equal to g less than or equal to f. Clearly, phi plus of cf is c times phi plus of f for c bigger than or equal to 0, a constant, and f bigger than or equal to 0. If 0 is less than or equal to gj less than or equal to fj for j equal to 1 and 2, then phi of g1 plus phi of g2 equals phi of g1 plus g2, which is less than or equal to phi plus of f1 plus f2. Taking supreme over all such gj, we find that phi plus of f1 plus phi plus of f2 is less than or equal to phi plus of the quantity f1 plus f2. So that's good. Conversely, if 0 is less than or equal to h less than or equal to f1 plus f2, we let g1 be the max of h minus f2 and 0, and g2 be the min of h and f2. We infer then that g1 plus g2 equals h, and also 0 less than or equal to gj less than or equal to fj, for j equal 1 and 2. Thus, phi of h equals phi of g1 plus phi of g2 less than or equal to phi plus of f1 plus phi plus of f2 for all fj and lp, with fj bigger than or equal to 0. Taking the supremum over h then yields that phi plus of f1 plus f2 is less than or equal to phi plus of f1 plus phi plus of f2. And now if we combine our last two displayed inequalities, you see that we get the equality that we want, saying that phi plus is linear. That's what we want to know. Now, if f and lp is arbitrary, we define phi plus of f to be phi plus of f plus phi plus of f minus, where f plus and f minus are respectively the positive and negative parts of f. It is easy to see that phi plus is a bounded linear functional on lp. Now, if f is an lp, define phi minus of f to be phi plus of f, take away phi of f. We see that phi minus is plainly a bounded linear functional, because its components, phi plus and phi, are bounded. From the definition of phi plus, we see that phi minus is also a positive linear functional, and finally it is perfectly obvious that phi equals phi plus take away phi minus. And that's the end of the proof of this lemma. Here's our big theorem. This is called the Riesz representation theorem. It's one of the most famous theorems in analysis. We will have two versions of it. We will have a version for L1 and L infinity, and we'll have a version for LP. So the first version is for L1 and L infinity. If Roman X script X mu is a sigma finite measure space and phi is a bounded linear functional in L1, then there exists a function g in L infinity such that phi of f is equal to the integral of f times g d mu for all f in L1. Furthermore, the norm of phi equals the L infinity norm of g. Also, if phi is a positive linear functional, then g is bigger than or equal to 0. So this theorem, this very nice theorem, tells us every linear functional in L1 is given by integration against an L-infinity function. So that's a structure theorem for the dual space, which is very important, because the best way to understand a Banach space is to understand its dual space. Proof. We first treat the case that mu is a finite measure and phi is positive. Define lambda from the algebra to the reals by lambda of E equals phi of chi sub E. Clearly, lambda of the empty set is 0. If EJ is an increasing sequence in the sigma algebra and E is the union of the EJs, then chi EJ converges pointwise to chi E. Since the mu measure of X is finite, it follows from the Lebesgue monotone convergence theorem that the same sequence converges in L1 to chi of E. Chi sub E. Since 0 is less than or equal to lambda of E, which is the limit of lambda of the EJs, and that equals phi of chi E minus phi of chi EJ, which is phi of chi E minus chi E, take away chi, minus chi EJ. Which is less than or equal to norm of phi times the norm of characteristic function of E minus characteristic function of EJ in L1. I should clarify, the first line of these equalities was lambda of E minus lambda of EJ, which makes sense because EJ is a subset of E, so that difference is bigger than or equal to 0. So we see, therefore, since lambda of EJ tends to lambda of E, that lambda is a measure. Furthermore, if f is in the sigma algebra and the measure of f is 0, then lambda of f is equal to 0, and hence lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. Applying the Radon-Nikodym theorem, we obtain a non-negative measurable function g from x to r such that phi of chi e equals lambda of e equals the integral of the characteristic function of e times g for all E in the sigma algebra. Linearity now implies that phi of H is H, the integral of H times G for all chi measurable simple functions H. So we pass here from characteristic functions to simple functions. If F is a non-negative function in L1, we let HJ be a monotone increasing sequence of simple functions converging almost everywhere in an L1 to F. That's one of our standard tricks. From the boundedness of phi, it is easy to see then that phi of f is the limit as j goes to infinity of phi of hj. Furthermore, the monotone convergence theorem tells us that phi of f is the limit as j goes to infinity of the integral of hj times g, which is the integral of f times g. By linearity, this equality holds for arbitrary f at L1, and that completes the case when mu is a finite measure. We leave the case of sigma finite mu for the reader to consult in the book by Bartle. It's an exercise to check that the norm of phi is equal to the L infinity norm of g. What we have shown with this first version of the Riesz representation theorem is that the dual of the Banach space L1 is L infinity. We will conclude this lecture now by proving a version of the theorem for LP. So here's the Riesz representation theorem second version. This is the version of the theorem for LP. So capital Roman X, capital script X mu is a measure space. Phi is a bounded linear functional in LP. For p bigger than or equal to 1, less than infinity, then there exists a g in LQ, where q is p divided by p minus 1, so that phi of f is the integral of f times g, and this holds for all f in LP. Moreover, the norm of phi as a functional is equal to the LQ norm of g. So this identifies the dual space of LP as LQ, which is very nice because it's always good to know the dual of the Banach space that you're studying. So proof. In the case that mu is finite, the proof of the preceding version of the Riesz theorem requires only minor changes to show that there exists a G in LQ with norm of phi equals GLQ, and so that phi of f is the integral of f times g for all f and LP. This result can be extended to the sigma finite case by consulting Bartle. We now complete the proof by noting that a bounded linear functional vanishes off of a sigma finite set. So that's an interesting fact right there. Indeed, let fj be a sequence in LP so that the norm of fj is 1 and phi of fj is bigger or equal to norm of phi times 1 minus 1 over j. There exists a sigma finite set x naught in the sigma algebra outside of which all the fj's vanish. Let E be an element of the sigma algebra with E intersect x naught equals the empty set, then the norm of fj plus or minus t times the characteristic function of E in LP is less than or equal to 1 plus t to the p times the measure of E all to the 1 over p power for t bigger than or equal to 0 when the measure of E is finite. Moreover, since phi of fj plus phi of plus or minus t chi e is less than or equal to the absolute value of phi of fj plus or minus t chi e, we see that the absolute value of phi of t times chi e is less than or equal to the norm of phi times the quantity 1 plus t to the p measure of e all to the 1 over p take away 1 minus 1 over j for all j in the natural numbers. Let j go to infinity and then divide by t, and we find that the absolute value of phi of the characteristic function of E is less than or equal to norm of phi times the fraction 1 plus t to the p mu E all to the 1 over p take away 1 over t. If we apply L'Hopital's rule as t goes to 0 from above, we may conclude, as long as p bigger than 1, that phi of the characteristic function of E is 0 for any E in the sigma algebra with the measure of E finite outside of the sigma finite set x naught. Thus, if f is any function in LP such that x naught intersect the set of all x and x where f of x is not 0 is empty, then it follows that phi of f is 0. Now we can apply the preceding argument to find a function g on x naught, which represents phi, and we extend g to all of x by requiring that it vanish on the complement of x naught. This gives the desired function. It should be noted that this last theorem is false for p equals infinity. In fact, the dual of L infinity is quite complicated, and it's a space that really can't be described explicitly. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening.